All right, everybody, welcome back to another podcast here. Last time we talked about the five different types of intelligence. Today I want to dive into the five needs that associate with those intelligences. So in this podcast today, I'm going to talk about how we have different needs that often go unmet, and they produce in us all of these feelings of anxiety, and I mean, honestly, things just feel off, for lack of a better word. So without too much background on that, let's just dive in. So last time we talked about how there are essentially five intelligences: physical, intellectual, social, emotional, and spiritual. Today, I want to talk about how each one of those, essentially how we feed each one. I mean, we look at the body, right? It's very obvious what happens when we don't feed our body. It weakens and eventually dies. Other parts of us don't necessarily die, but become so dormant they might as well be dead if they're neglected. And each one of these, they can be very closely linked up to the body. It's not just one thing either. It's kind of a different set of things that create a balance. You can be very, very healthy, but if you refuse to exercise, you still will not. Sorry, excuse me. You can eat very healthy, but if you refuse to exercise, you just don't quite have it. You can eat healthy and have awesome nutrition, but if you're never outside breathing in fresh air, you're going to notice some big things. If you're never out in the sun and getting that vitamin D, you'll notice some big problems, right? So the body is a little more specific on its requirements, and it's a little more down to actual micro needs. The other elements are a little less so. And actually, the funny thing about it is it works in reverse. The body has very specific needs, and they're all very detailed. And as we go down the list, they become more and more vague and less and less specific. And funny enough, the neglect you put on each one of these is felt more slowly. Physical need is felt very, very quickly. Whereas spiritual need, you can go your whole life and not really notice until you finally tap into it that something was really missing. It's very common, actually. A lot of people that have a spiritual awakening, for lack of a better word, often say it was like they discovered a hole they didn't know was there inside their heart. Something was missing, but they were unaware that it even was missing. So yeah, as we go through this, it'll kind of make sense that way, especially when we think of it in context of the body and how we have these needs. So let's just dive into the body, right? As I've mentioned before, exercise is a huge one. I'm a huge believer in daily rigorous exercise. I have family members and friends who have physical limitations and chemical limitations, in the sense that a close friend, his adrenals practically do not work at all. Makes it very difficult for him to have good, rigorous exercise. But I'm a huge believer that some type of exercise, if that means just walking for you every morning, that's fine. Nutrition is very important, and I could spend hours and hours and hours talking about nutrition. My advice to you, though, is stick to the basics. Try to avoid extremism and do a lot of homework. But just know that you'll learn one day that vegetables are bad for you, and then you'll learn the next day that they're good for you, depending on who you happen to. And I'm serious about that. It's kind of a funny world when you start studying nutrition, because people say, "Oh, this thing will kill you," and yet it doesn't, right? People get a little bit paranoid to think about nutrition sometimes. I'm a believer in just stick to the basics. The basics are avoid anything chemical. Yeah, you can get by with it, but just stay away from it as much as you can, because you're introducing elements that are going to be harder to cope with. Stick as close to natural as you can. And I mean that in the sense of, don't just eat vegetables, eat locally grown vegetables. Try to get back to the basics as much as possible. Avoid elaborate foods. Eat basic foods. Eat a lot of different kinds of foods. Don't just eat one type of food all the time. The staple should be vegetables. Include lots of fats, include a decent amount of protein. In other words, stick to it. Kind of take everyone out there that has all these extreme ideas and try to find the balance between all of them. You will not find anyone that's a health expert that recommends eating lots of sugar every day. So there you have it. Avoid eating excessive sugar. And that alone, actually, for me, is going back to my experience. I'm fairly ADHD, which means that caffeine actually usually will slow me down. Sometimes I actually put me right to sleep if I drink a lot of caffeine. But sugar, in contrast, will totally light me up. I mean, it's pretty intense. If I'm on an empty stomach and I drink a really sugary drink, it's something, I'll tell you. You kind of have to experience it, but I get completely crazy. I just it's pretty funny. So I avoid doing that because often I crash really hard afterwards. Yeah, so you just stick for baseline nutrition. You just try to find the smart things. I have a friend who eats a really clean diet, really clean food, and every single day she would go into her freezer where she had bags of chocolate chip cookies that she baked, and she eats one chocolate chip cookie every single day. That to me was the most wise thing I've heard, and she's been doing that for years. And she's like, yeah, because she's like, I can go off sugar and I can do all these crazy different extreme diets, but at the end of the day, I like chocolate chip cookies. I gave myself that one thing. I look forward to it every day. It's a fun thing. At noon, right after lunch, I go and have my chocolate chip cookie. I sit out on the patio and I read a book. And I loved that because like that is a very sustainable long-term health goal. Very big believer in that. I do believe in cleanses. When I go to a foreign country for a significant period of time, I try to cleanse out my system. I'm a believer in that, but avoid extreme diets that you're always shifting back and forth. Just try to stick to baseline nutrition. Get a lot of fresh air. And this is one that might seem different to a lot of people. Go barefoot every now and again. Get in the sun every now and again. There's a lot of things we don't understand about our bodies and what it needs. But as you continue to seek for more and more basic things, like just go back and realize that for the last several thousand years, we have, I mean, who knows how long, we've been barefoot. And then all of a sudden, one day we're not, and we don't ever touch the ground. And I'm starting to find studies now that it actually really deeply affects us. So just trying to go back and spend a lot of time outside, play in the mud, get dirty, that kind of stuff. I think that it's good for the soul, the mind, everything, and for reasons we probably don't know. Okay, so that's enough about the body. The physical needs, intellectual needs. This is one I've seen as well. It's people kind of believe, I see so often people believe like, oh, I'm just not smart, or I just wasn't given that gift. I'm like, I don't care. You have intellectual needs just the same. People say, I'm not good at memorizing. Okay, then memorize. It's a muscle. I promise you, I actually, there was a point in my life I was memorizing every single day. I memorized these just short quotes and things like that. I got to the point after doing this for a couple of months of daily memorization that I could look at a quote sometimes and just have it memorized. It was done. It was locked away. Some of them would be, several sentences long, and I could just read it once and it was there and perfect. And I found that as you continue to stretch that, it really helps your mind. This is one that's different as well. New ideas. The brain craves novelty, especially if you're like me. ADHD does not function on pain and reward as much as it does on novelty. And I do think that a lot more of us than we realize actually have a huge need for that. We like to have new ideas. We need to think. We need to dream. And that is a huge intellectual need that we have. Just dreaming, considering possibilities, thinking deeply about things, getting lost in thought. That is a massive intellectual need. And last, or two more, is good books and lots of philosophy. You don't have to love philosophy, but get into it a little bit. Dabble in it and start to play with ideas and let them work around in your mind. You'll find that it really does add some balance to your life. Okay, so that's intellectual. Social. This is probably pretty obvious to a lot of people. It was not obvious to me growing up. I really didn't believe that social made a difference for me. I'm an extrovert who believed he was an introvert. And as you can imagine, it really left me imbalanced. But I kept on thinking, oh, well, it means I need to pray more. Right? Often we misdiagnose. We think that when something's wrong or something's imbalanced with our life, we look towards a familiar source of what to fix, Especially, I was raised in a very devout home, very strong Christian devout home, and that was always kind of the unspoken rule was that if something's wrong, you just need to pray more or read the scriptures more. I have since found that to not be the case for me at all. In fact, I believe in some ways we almost it's deceitful because we think that should fix the problem. Now, I'm a big believer that you can tap into divine knowledge, and sometimes that divine knowledge says, hey, I heard once a great quote that a man was praying and said, what do I do? I've got all these big problems. I don't know what to do. And he was stressed out and he was frustrated. And a voice in his mind said, get up and clean your room. And I just was so fascinated by that. I was like, that's exactly what I can see. So Not in any way to downplay the power of spirituality, but often we think that just praying more will solve everything, and often it does not. You need to really look at all of your needs and balance those out. Okay, so social. Number one, romance. We need it. It's a big part of what makes us tick. If you think you don't, I don't think you're accurate in that. I think it's a huge part of what makes us tick. And we need to continually foster that. If you're married, find a way to make your partner fall even, married or in a relationship or essentially not single, make your partner fall deeper in love with you every day and make that a big part of your priorities. If you're single, obviously get out there. You might think, I'm not in the mood to get married, I'm not in the mood to be in a relationship. Doesn't matter. Get out there, put yourself out there. It's a need that you have, whether you feel like it or not. It does actually create balance in your life. I say the word partying kind of loosely. That looks different for every person, but for me, I just like to have a crazy good time with my friends. It's a big part of what makes me feel connected. I like to go out and do fun things. I like to go out on an adventure. I love to be with people. Deep connection. Everyone has a different way that they show this and how they do this, but for me, I love long, long conversations. Some people, I mean, so for me, I'm a highly verbal person and I'm a highly physical person. So I like physical connection. I like giving hugs. I like holding hands. Like I'm all about that, and it really does affect me in a very big way. Service is another big one, and kindness. I believe these are the social needs, and I'm sure there's more, but these are the ones that I've noticed in my life that are very important. Emotional, we have these are some of what I think are the emotional needs. Some of these might be a little surprising to you, but actually, let me pause really quick before going to this. What each of these needs are is connection. At the end of the day, it's only connection. What is physical connection? Connection with the body. That's what we're connecting with. What is intellectual connection? Connection with the mind. Social connection? Connection with society. Emotional connection is connection with essentially self, the soul. It's who you are. And so that's what we're really trying to connect with here. And that, for me, and then of course, spiritual connection is connection with the divine, things that are higher than you, higher laws, higher ideas, principles, God, the universe, energy, whatever you want to call it, all of the above. You're connecting with essentially the metaphysical. So looking at the emotional connection, we have one of the big ones that I've noticed is adventure. We need adventure. The soul needs that. We need adventure and excitement, and going along with that, the next one is risk. I think risk is a human need. It's a big part of what makes us tick, is we need to do things that scare us. We need to do things that have consequence. We need to do things that I don't believe in putting yourself in unnecessary mortal peril constantly, but you should. I believe you should do things that are more or less dangerous. Because living a life of constant fear and shutting yourself inside, always afraid something bad's going to happen, is no way to live. That's something you have to decide for yourself. What is a reasonable amount of risk to take? But in everything you do, in business, in relationships, in ideas, in spirituality, in adventure, everything, there has to be a risk involved. Otherwise, you're stagnant and you're stuck. Do not be afraid to take risks. Dig deeply and make it stick. So meditation is a big part for me of what creates that balance. It's just taking time to be aware. I'm a huge believer in awareness meditation. If you don't know what that is, look it up. An app that I really love is Headspace. Lately, I've been using it. I try to use it twice a day, morning and night. And I found it really has balanced out a lot of this need for just noticing things. Just stop looking at things as good or bad. Just being aware of your feelings, being aware and being able to look from the perspective of self, that you separating the body from the soul, essentially, and saying, how's the body feeling today? And that you are the one watching. Again, you're not just the protagonist in your story, you're the author. And stepping that author's role and looking at it objectively that way. Nature is huge. I mentioned that was social. I mean, it's great to be and physical. Nature crosses many different platforms. but I think the emotional nature that I'm talking about is just time to listen, to be present, to realize how small you are. If ever I actually feel really bogged down, there's two things that I love to do. One of them is I love to go find a river that's really, really, really cold. I like to go plunge in it and just sit there for a while. And what it does is it kind of seems to break apart the connection between the body and the soul. Like they kind of seem to almost separate, which really doesn't sound pleasant, but it for me, it is just magic. It really helps me find like a deep connection. You're probably thinking, man, this guy is crazy. Like, but that's just for me what I like to do. And then the next thing that I love to do in nature is I love to climb to the top of something very tall. I love to summit all these different mountains. And there's something so beautiful about getting on the top of a mountain and looking down and realizing that you are nothing more than a speck on a planet, and that planet is nothing more than a speck in the solar system, and that solar system is nothing more than a speck in the galaxy, and so on and so forth, right? That we are remarkably small. And something about that, which seems counterintuitive, it brings some kind of peace to us. Because often we really do believe that we are the center of the universe. And then we really step back and we go, wow, we are so pathetically far from the center of the universe. There are galaxies out there that function totally without us even noticing, yet we are so caught up in our own problems, our own day-to-day stuff. And there's whole galaxies out there. You know, and so you just think of it that way, and it really changes your perspective. Planning is a huge one. Living in a clean environment, a huge emotional need that I think is very, very underutilized. You need to be in a clean environment. It does something to your emotions that is hard to explain. And even the act of cleaning does something to your emotions. Challenge, I've mentioned this before, and this is one that I'm very passionate about, that you have to embrace challenge in life. I'm a big believer in endurance sports. I've started doing CrossFit lately. I do my cold water plunges. Pretty much, if it's hard, go for it. If it's difficult, make it happen, and do things that really, really push you. Now, challenge might also fall under the physical category as well, but emotionally, it's hard to explain what a long distance run will do to you emotionally until you've done it. So, huge believer in that. And the last one, and this one is so, so, so important as well, is creation. We are hardwired to create. You don't have to believe in God to see this, that we are addicted to video games, not because there's anything that cool about watching a fake character run around the screen, but we like the idea of leveling up. We like the idea of creating something. Minecraft has been this huge thing, right? And it's just pure creation space. If you can, and I'm not a huge believer in video games. In fact, I think they're pretty destructive, even though I actually love video games. You can transmute that energy that you put into video games into life, and it really will do something pretty powerful for you. So, different levels of creation. I think business is a big one. I think ideas, projects, a few that are maybe less known, art. I believe everyone should be an artist in one way or another. I believe it's an enormous emotional need. And for some people, for me, that's music as well. And I believe music and art are both separate emotional needs. If you don't have anything to do with music, you might say, I'm not musical. I encourage you to become musical. That might seem a little bit off base, but it's hard to explain what it does to you. If you don't know how to sing, then just go take some basic vocal lessons and learn how to be musical. It's hard to explain what it does to you, but I think it is very important. Art is the same thing. I'm not great at this. I do a little bit of songwriting, and that's kind of my art, I guess, the way that I express my creativity. But I'm actually recently been getting into drawing, and I'm hoping to get into watercolor and oil painting. So again, just trying to create that emotional balance and to find joy in that. So, okay, and lastly, and this is where we'll wrap up, is the spiritual. This one is so vague and so different for each person that it's hard for me to even pin it down, but this is just some things for me that are significant. Scripture, and I pull from a very, very wide variety. A lot of them would not be considered scripture by a lot of people. I've got fiction books that are my scripture. I've got quotes that are my scripture. I've got religious canon that's my scripture from many different faiths. All of that. Go to script that is very, very real, and write your own. Write your own scripture. Nature, again, it's a different kind of vibe, but going to nature looking for answers is a very powerful way to connect with your spirit, and to connect with whatever is higher out there. This one is very interesting, stillness, just being still. Meditation, yes, but not even meditation sometimes, just stillness, just sitting, not thinking about anything, not trying to do anything, just sitting for a significant amount of time. Prayer in all different forms. I was raised in a home where we prayed over the food, and that's great. I think that's decent. I'm a big believer in praying for a very, very long time, over very hard questions and seeking for deeper answers. And how everyone prays is different. The way that I pray is very different than a lot of people that I know. Mine's very informal and very, very personal to me. And I pray out loud a lot. I pray quietly. I pray often, even just like in a sense of talking to myself, trying to connect. So those are the needs there. I hope that this was significant for you. I would love to hear what other things you think fit into this list. You can message me on Instagram, or you can also drop it in the comments on whichever platform you're on. I would love to hear what your thoughts are on these. So until the next episode, we'll see you then.